Amen. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all together again in one accord, because I know we're all looking for the same thing, and that's you. We praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, for maturing us up into that full-grown Jesus Christ that you want each one of us, full-grown son and daughter of God. And I praise you, Father, that that's what you're doing with your Holy Spirit. And I praise you, Lord, that tonight's not going to be an exception. We're going to have a great time because we're going to be led by your Spirit. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that if there's healings to be had, healings will come. And if there's deliverances to be had, deliverances will come. And I thank you, Father, for this open heaven you have given us. And I praise you and I glorify you for the words that everybody has that you've given them in order to speak the thing that you have them to reveal. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, be with us tonight. Lead us and guide us into the things that you want us to talk about, not us. And I praise you for all that that's accomplished in you, Lord, that it would encourage and bring out light to the ones who need it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Glory be to God. It's so good to be here. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I just thank you that we're here locally. We're going to have hot weather here shortly. And I just praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's only 78 in here. Praise God. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to pray about or about a praise report or a testimony? Hey, Ben. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Don't y'all think that fuzz looks like Missy? Starting to look just like Missy. Or she's starting to look like him. I can't figure out which one it is. Go ahead. No, that's a precious little dog.
It is a sweet little dog.
Yeah.
Two things. I have a quick testimony, and then there's something I just want to pray about because I think everyone's going through some stuff. My short little testimony is we had really some really good rain today, but they had I've never seen this one before here. I live in Southern California, right? And we don't get these kinds of warnings. But on the weather alert thing, there was a severe thunderstorm warning, which they were telling us to take shelter, to get to the lowest place in your home. Like if you lived in a, you know, two-story, three-story home or whatever, in the center of your house, there was going to be all this. I mean, it was just a lot of threats and intimidation and fear that there was going to be really, really, they said that these winds were already noted off the beach, one of the beaches, and they're heading west, and that this area, a bunch of areas were being notified, and mine was one of them. But damaging winds, taking down trees, golf ball or larger size hail, and gale force winds of like 60, I think it was 60 mile an hour winds is what they were saying. And they were really putting fear on here, and it's like, ain't none of that happening, but the enemy was trying to stir everything up. And I called Marilyn and we prayed and we cast it all down and we just commanded it not to happen, and that it was going to be diminished. I tell you what, it was more windy when I was talking to Marilyn than what it was when they said all this stuff was flowing through. And I looked on the radar and you can see those, you know, those red and yellow cells that are supposed to be really severe and all that. And it was out there, but nothing happened here. Nothing. It was just a nice rain for about 30 minutes. About 30 minutes. So God answered our prayers. And then I don't know what they do out there. I'm not going to accuse anyone wrongfully, but I just think it's a lot of a manipulation that wasn't really there, but I'm not 100% sure about that. And then the other thing is just being hit with a lot of witchcraft. And I know I'm not the only one. I suspect I'm not the only one. There's a lot of witchcraft being, sent about, and I kind of really wanted to pray about that.
Pray about what? Dude, yeah, I couldn't
Witchcraft
understand.
coming.
Oh,
I'm
witchcraft.
sorry.
Yeah.
Can you not hear me? Is everyone
I
hearing me
can
okay?
now.
Am I breaking
Yeah,
up?
I can now. Yeah, it was me. It wasn't anybody else. It was me. I had the thing turned down. Bobby in the name of
Okay.
Jesus, we come against witchcraft, come against this fellowship right now in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, I command you to cease your activity against everyone in the outreach and those that listen to in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I glorify you that the enemy has no power over this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for your angels that are out there right now, putting up a wall around each and every one of us. And I thank you, Father, no more witchcraft against us in Jesus' name. And those who believe, Lord, will be protected. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Lord, that right now your angels are doing the work that they should do right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, anybody that's already been hit by, attacked by, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah, because you said, if we should speak the name of Jesus, that we shall have it. And I know for a fact that it works because you are a trustworthy God. That we could, when we do that, we know that we've done it in your name. We stand in your stead. It's done. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Father, for all the healing that has already taken place in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for the deliverances of any kind of brain fog, any kind of memory loss, any kind of that kind of sort of thing right now, in the name of Jesus is gone. In Jesus' name. Any kind of senility, go right now in the name of Jesus. And any kind of acts against God's people at this outreach, be gone in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your word is true and we believe it. And everybody said amen because it's done. In Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for giving Job good electricity tonight, good communications tonight also. Amen. Glory be to God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the angels clearing up the air.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, Joe.
Michael, good morning, everybody. Last week we prayed about this national shutdown of powers in Monday and Tuesday. I don't know if you can remember about it, but because it's done, so praise the Lord, nothing really happened. Maybe some healing, some people
praise
here
God.
And there, but nothing happened. That's the first thing. But the second best thing, well, the best thing is yesterday we got no load shedding for the first time in a couple of months. So. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you for
thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Father.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, clean up that corrupt government. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Glory,
I
hallelujah.
Think the Lord is busy. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep, I do too. Thank you, yeah. Oh, and not only in South Africa, but in other places too. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? I didn't. I've never seen that before. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I had a kink in my neck, and I just want to thank the Lord that it's completely gone now. In Jesus' name, I pray, and I thank you, Lord, for He bore our sicknesses, and thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that Andrew is completely healed. Of that, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father. And Lord, I thank you that my sinuses are healed too, in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father. I know they're healed. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And anybody else that has that problem that doesn't have it anymore, in Jesus' name. I declare and decree it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, Lana. Or Theo.
I just wanted to share our praise report and testimony. When we came to Tennessee, we were debt-free and we had money under control. I lost my job, which is not a problem because the Lord provided something 6 weeks later, which gave us perfect amount of time to get moved and just enough time to rest and get back to it. But that crept up on us again, and it happened so fast. It was just crazy. A lot of travel started happening, and I get reimbursed for travel, and we had some expenses here, quite a few of them, but the reimbursements don't always come quickly. Like right now, I'm still waiting on a couple from weeks ago. And the credit card statements come, and then you start getting charged interest fees and et cetera. And before you know it, we were about $20,000 in credit card debt. So fast, I know. And during our Tasmania visit, which was mostly free because I had points racked up, I didn't have to pay the $1,500 plane tickets because I had all those airline miles. And yeah, we didn't have to rent a car because Rion was kind enough to haul us around everywhere and take care of us while we were there. But so I shared already some of the deliverance that we had gone through there. Well, part of it was the debt. We brought it to the Lord and said, we rebuke this debt. We commanded it that it's gone in the name of Jesus. And you know what, guys? I was looking at my statements. It was a $14,700 statement and I think it was like $1,500 on the other statement, two credit cards, right? So it was basically $16,000 of total monies. Well, the money just started pouring in. When we got back from Tasmania, I had $9,000 just sitting in my bank. When we left for Tasmania, it was a lot less, for sure, way less. And I think the Lord just multiplied the money that came in because, I mean, it's just a fat chunk. So I threw that instantly on the credit cards, and then more kept coming in, and then payday happened. And basically the whole story is we paid both statements in 1 month, less than a month.
Woo, glory to God, glory to God.
I don't make that much money, y'all.
Oh, God.
So, and it worked.
Can I borrow your car? Thank you, Jesus.
Borrow whatever you want.
No.
Lord, God, is the and yeah,
that's awesome. That is so awesome. Just in 1 month. Oh, yeah. My.
And I've got a couple grand left over for next month, you know, because there's more charges coming in from other travels that I did. But there's enough money. There's plenty of money. By the end of next month, history.
You still have money plus.
So
yeah, thank you, Jesus.
A huge miracle for us, and this bondage that I think came with the baggage, right? All the things we got deliverance for. I'm pretty sure that was part of the reason, you know.
Oh my, that's awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
It went as quickly as the deliverance came, you know, very fast. But praise the Lord.
Praise God.
God is so good to us.
Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the
Lord. That's a load off, ain't it? That is a load off. Lord, hallelujah. Oh my. All right. That's a great testimony. All right, anybody else? David, how you doing? David Timachuk?
He's doing good, but not here at the moment.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Are you going to tell us what you found out or not? Maybe later, huh?
What do you mean?
Where'd you go today?
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I was trying to jump the gun a little bit. What? Okay. All right.
I'll share on Thursday.
There you go. There you go. That'll be awesome. I already know what it is.
Yeah, us too.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I thought, that's right. Yeah, Anna said the mark. Yeah, I'm sorry. She said that would be at the bottom of that. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Oh, my. I want to, well, never mind. Here comes Geneva. Go ahead, Geneva.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Sure can.
Okay. All right. So today I was talking to Isaac on the phone. I was at the gym. I had my earphones in, and I got on the stair climber. And I was definitely out of breath, but I think Isaac could tell. But anyways, me and Isaac were just talking about how the Lord has just, you know, blessed us with dreams. And he was sharing with me about all the dreams, you know, that the Lord has really blessed him with, just talking to him and things like that. And I looked down in one of the cup holders, and I pull out this note, and is this little note, and it said, "I expect supernatural miracle in Jesus' name." And I thought that that was pretty awesome. And I was like in the midst of me and Isaac, like, you know, just talking, praising the Lord. And then I read this little note that said that, and I looked everywhere else, and there was no other little notes or anything like that. It was just like tucked down in the cup holder. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And anyways, that blessed me and Isaac's faith. And we prayed forever, wrote it. And we prayed for ourselves and received the blessing. And just want to thank the Lord for that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on just a second. Okay. Got it. All right. Oh, y'all could hear me, couldn't you? Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Anybody? I was looking something up. Y'all ready to get the chains broken? All right. Praise God. We're going to listen to music. Yeah. We're going to listen to some music. Praise God. All right. Let's get ready here.
don't see as you go working. Even when I don't feel as you go working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Amen. I my other headphones just quit on me. I guess it ran out of battery. Go ahead, Missy.
As you would say, I wish they'd get a little excited.
Okay, now go.
As you would say, I wish they would get a little excited.
You know, Swanton, I was thinking while I was watching that, I said, one of these days, you're going to see the same thing here. Lord of God, we're going to have a bunch that's going to get wild about Jesus. Lord of God. Yeah, it's going to be that way. We've David's probably get some songs in there to get them up off their feet, boy. That white marker want to get them off their feet, isn't it? Lord of God, that's an awesome one. That girl does a good job. Yeah. That's what a bunch of good old Pentecost would look like. Yeah, Missy.
You know, that drummer is, she plays with people in songs. I think some of there. And also, I've seen her play with Charity Gayle specifically. Like those latest ones of Charity Gayle, like when she's wearing that rusty kind of brown, orangish, whatever dress. When she sings Echo and We Need a Miracle, that's the drummer that plays in those videos, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
More familiar.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Well, I think that church is her home church. I'm not real sure about that.
I was thinking something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Claire. Yeah, I think that's her home church. That's a UPC, I think. That's okay.
Never seen a female drummer. First one I ever saw.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've seen a few of them. She's pretty, that girl there, pretty good. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? I was going to share something, Arthur. Yeah, Samuel.
Can you hear us properly?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to share a testimony, or two. The other day, last week, we accidentally left milk in the car overnight. And it was a really warm day, but we completely forgot about it. And the next day, we were expecting it to be off, but it was completely preserved and it was fine. And it was still a little cool, which was really awesome.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
And,
thank you, Jesus.
So we accidentally spent all of our money for the fortnight because we had a lot of expenses. And we only had $50 left, and that had to last us for a whole week. And we had to buy diapers and water. And so we were thinking that the Lord wanted us to fast or just eat like little amount. And I was craving meat really, really intense, like one day. And we don't eat meat very much. So I told Samuel, and Samuel went to pray, and the Lord said it to him, it was fine for me to get some meat. And the Lord said to Samuel for him to look in the laptop bag, and he came out and he's like, I don't know why, but I think God said to look in the laptop bag. So Samuel got me to go look in the laptop bag, and I was going through it, all the different pockets, and I'm like, why am I doing this? The whole thing's just empty. And I got to the very last thing, and there was $700 in there.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. So gracious.
During that song, I saw five polished stones. So
five what?
I got reminded of five polished stones. So I got reminded of when David went to the river to get some stones to take out Goliath. I got reminded of that. We just sling that stone at the enemy. Praise God. He's won. Victory.
Amen. Victory. Take the bondages off. Take the chains off, Lord of God. Amen. Knock that devil right in the forehead with a smooth river rock. Amen. I'm going to take a look. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, I need to check my bag, too. That's what Judy said. She's going to check her computer bag. I said, well, I need to check mine, too. Oh, my. Yeah, Claire?
Hi, Michael and everyone.
Hey, howdy.
I have a prayer request. It's not for me. And I would really, I don't think the enemy wants me to ask for this, but I'm going to ask because we have been shown tremendous kindness in the town recently by a very sweet little couple. And they're trying to have a baby. And they don't know the Lord. So they're obviously trying man's ways. And they've been so kind to us, in fact, that I'm actually sitting in their house right now because our house is getting something done to it. And so we're not allowed to be there for a couple of days. So we were kind of nowhere yesterday, the kids and I. And then this lady graciously said, oh, well, just come to our house today. And while they're at work, we can just be here with the kids, which is wonderful. So we got a full day of school, well, full morning of school in. And I did get to share my testimony of how I came to Christ with her recently. And she actually texted me the next day and said, thank you so much for sharing your journey to faith. And she's a very private person and just only recently opened up to me about this trial that they've been going through for about 8 years now, trying to have kids. And I just send back like, I'm praying for you and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm not led to send much more because I know they're just so in the world, like they wouldn't be able to receive it. But you know, yesterday the kids and I read Matthew 25, where the Lord says, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And these people have been so kind to us. Like they've honestly just been so kind to open their home for us and to, they've done tiny little things that are, it's just so sweet. And so I would like to pray for them. And if you would all agree with me,
yep.
I need to be really careful that I don't pray something that I want. So I'm just mindful of that. But okay. Thank you, gracious Lord, for giving us this opportunity to spend time with this couple. And Father, you know their hearts. You know where they're at and you know where you want them to be. And nothing can change that, Lord. But Father, you've shown me Matthew 25 yesterday when we were in a pickle and they graciously opened their home to us. And then you showed me Mark 6 today, Lord, which says that if you're not received, you're supposed to shake the dust off of your feet. But I have been received into this house, Lord, me and my family. And there is going to be tremendous blessing on this house because of that, Lord. I break whatever hindrances to faith it is, Lord, for this couple, both the husband and the woman. I break that for a reprieve, Lord, so that they can understand your holy goodness. Father, I pray that you would draw them, that you would use whatever means necessary to draw them to you, to yourself and to your son, so that they are completely filled. I know you did that for me before I was ever pregnant, Lord. You gave me your son first. And I believe it's made all the difference in my life to have the son before I have the children. And I pray that same grace on them, Lord. I pray that you would give them the son first. Before you give them the desires of their heart, and I don't think wanting children is wrong. I know it. They're a heritage from the Lord and a blessing. And I pray blessing over this family. that you would give them the courage to ask the questions, that you would give them the courage to accept the done deeds of Christ that make us victorious in the heavenly places. I pray that you would give us, my family and I, the courage to speak and the opportunity, not of ourselves, but as oracles of God. You've done it before, Lord. I know you can do it again. We are nothing and we have nothing, and that is why we can so readily accept the goodness even from those of the world. And I pray we can give that goodness back. So, Father, I pray for blessing on this house and blessing on this couple. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I remember Paul when he had the shipwreck. And when they were on the Isle of Malta, I believe it was. And the people there blessed him and the crew that he was with food and clothing and housing. And Father, we thank you that Paul knew that he could bless them, even though they were heathens, because they blessed your people. And I thank you for doing the same thing for this couple here. They blessed Claire and the kids and Rion. And Father, I thank you for blessing them with a child. And I thank you for giving Claire and Rion the boldness to declare it and decree it to them that it is done. They have a child coming. Bless God. And I thank you, Father, that it's not going to cost them an arm and a leg like it does normally with the flesh, the man way of doing things. And Lord, I thank you for doing it for this couple in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask, you knew we was going to pray this. You knew we were going to pray this. And I thank you, Father, that when they go in to do whatever it is that they're going to do, that they're going to say, well, we don't need to get nothing because you're already pregnant. Glory to God. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Father. We declare and decree that this couple has a baby here now. In Jesus' name, and I praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Bless this couple, Lord, because they have blessed you. And not only that, Lord, Claire and Rion can tell them, look, God did that. That was God that did that. The doctor didn't have nothing to do with it. Don't you want to know the God who gave you this child? Lord of God, yes, Lord, and I praise you for doing that for this couple in Jesus' name. And I know you've already done it. I know you've already done it, Jesus' name. You remember when Peter was walking up and they saw this guy that was been blind from birth? He didn't hesitate. He did not hesitate. He didn't say, well, let me pray for you and see what God wants. Or let me pray for you and see if it's God's will or anything. He said, in the name of Jesus, I don't have any money. I don't have no gold, no silver, but what I do have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus. Come up out of there and start seeing in Jesus' name. And he did. We just have to be bold to do it. Because when you're bold, God loves it. He said, look in there. Look at them. Look at them. They believe me so much, they just going to declare and decree it. I'll tell you what, you'll see more miracles that way than you will just by just naturally praying. Just declare and decree it. Let it go. Because God loves those people who trust him. And every one of y'all, I know, trust God implicitly. We know that this couple already has a child on the way, right? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I just in agreement with everything that's already been prayed. And also, Claire, you know, I was thinking of when Jesus said, whatsoever you would have done unto you, do unto others. And you know, if you were in her shoes, you would want somebody to pray for you. And so yeah. be comforted. You are doing absolutely the right thing. And yes, in agreement that, you know, they've been a blessing to you and, the Lord's going to bless them. We break the power of the spirit of infertility here in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus and the curses that have been spoken over them by the medical staff. We command this spirit of infertility to, we cast it down in Jesus' name, and not only in the natural, but in the spirit. Father, that their hearts are going to be very, very fertile to receive the word. Just as we're praying for this woman's womb to be fertile, we're praying for the ground of their hearts to be very fertile, and they're going to receive the seed, and it will bear forth fruit. It will bear forth fruit, and so will her body. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. We command them to come on into the kingdom. We cast down all doubt and fear and unbelief. And Lord, I just thank you for the work that you're already doing here, even tonight. I want to thank you and praise you for orchestrating all these steps to get Claire over there and giving her and the children and giving her an opportunity to share her testimony, and that this woman was gracious to receive it. So, Father, we just thank you and bless you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name for what you're doing in the natural and the spirit here, the bearing forth of fruit to the glory of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hey, Samuel, go ahead.
Can I answer this? Almighty Father, we break off and forbid any backlash. We are to be bold in Christ, and we give you all the glory that if we stand with you, nothing can stand against. So we thank you, Father, that it's through us that the Lord Jesus flows through us, and you get the glory, honor, and praise that when we speak and be bold in Christ, receive it. We shall not fear man in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that when we speak what is true and what you have said in your words to others, we shall not fear, because you have already gone before us and have conquered it all. Thank you, Father.
And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful couple, Lord. Thank you for drawing them to you in spirit and in truth. And thank you for giving them eyes to see and ears to hear you. Thank you that they are your children and that they're already in your kingdom and it's going to manifest in the physical. And thank you for speaking through Claire and Rian and their beautiful children to this couple, Lord. Thank you that they see you in the Panars. And thank you that they're drawn to you, Lord. Thank you for giving them the desire to run after you with everything that they are. Thank you for giving them a love for the truth. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for them and setting them free. And thank you, Lord, that all these trials they're going through right now, Lord, that when they come to you, you're going to use them to witness to so many people that only you can open and close a womb and that only you can satisfy our soul. Thank you, Lord, that they are yours now and forever. And thank you that it's not even us praying, but it's you praying through every single one of us. And it's you that want them in the kingdom, Lord. Thank you. You get all the glory and praise, Lord, for all eternity. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. It is done. That child is in the womb now, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Glory to God. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Well, that one's done. We got a new baby. We're going to have them in outreach, too. Be here on outreach. Might as well declare it. Lord of God. I wonder if he's a banjo player. Amen. Lord of God, thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah. Good to have you here again, Sam. And Cheryl, my old Texas friend. A long time ago.
I'd like to say something.
Yes, ma'am, you may.
Before I had any children, I was having problems getting pregnant, and I went to the doctor and they checked me and said that I never ovulated, so I would never be able to have any children unless I took fertility pills or fertility, whatever they did back then. This was over 30 years ago. So that was before all these multiple pregnancies, you know. So at times they would abort some if there was too many after taking fertility pills. And I told the doctor that that I didn't want to go that route because I couldn't abort a child if there was too many. So I told him that if it's God's will that I get pregnant, I'll get pregnant. And the next month I got pregnant with my first son.
Praise God. God is so good.
Amen.
That's a good testimony, Sherry.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Amen. Awesome. All right. Anybody else? You know how much it costs to have a child? I'm talking about if you have to go through all this garbage that they go through. The one costs about $20,000. Just for the stuff that they do, whatever it is. He's worth it. Don't get me wrong. He's worth it. But why go through all of that? We've got Jesus. I've known the women that have gotten pregnant after they've had the tubes tied. Because we prayed. Or even had what's the thing they call that? What are you talking about? Anyway, whatever that is. I've seen them have babies. When they wanted to have babies, they had babies. So it ain't nothing too hard for God, is it? Yes, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. All right, anybody else? Okay, where are we at? Oh. Chapter 6, right? Whoa, we're going through this thing like a breeze. Is anybody having, y'all having think this is good for us? Anybody? Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I like this book. I've read this thing, I don't know how many times. Gosh. When I first read it, as soon as I read it, I turned right around, read it again, turned right around, read it again. All right, let's start on chapter 6, God's sovereignty over the fall and salvation. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days, John 6:44. Yeah, some parents feel very guilty that though they did the best they could, their children seem to be going the wrong way. The following teaching is not against those who have faithfully served the Lord from their youth, but rather for those who feel that the Lord has passed them or their children by. Walk by faith for those wayward children. I say, believe in your prayers. Expect miracles, but be patient. God has a plan that starts for them long before their salvation. Give some deep thought to this. It will free you from worry, strife, condemnation, and self-effort to bring about God's will. They will have to be saved after tribulation and failure of their worldly expectations as we were. Children who are raised knowing about the Lord are sometimes very righteous, self-righteous. They think they deserve what they have. They don't understand grace. They will also have to see themselves as sinners in order to be the dirt that can receive the word and bear the fruit of Jesus. God only saves sinners. We've all been one. This is a necessary revelation in order to appreciate the great value of salvation and to be saved by unmerited favor. I remember my oldest daughter when she was 3 years old going around our lost friends and relatives saying, "God don't like that." She was quickly deflecting what we had told her. We thought, "You little Pharisee." Our Heavenly Father has had many prodigal sons, just as Jesus' parable shows. But that doesn't make him a bad father. In this parable, the good son who never left home was self-righteous, judgmental, and merciless. On the other hand, the younger son, he spent his inheritance on righteous living, realized his low estate, and came to his father very humbly, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son." Luke 15:21. The once rebellious son now understood mercy and grace and was a much better man for it. Prophetically, the firstborn son who never left the father was a righteous among Israel. But they didn't understand grace. Excuse me. The younger, second son of the father, who fell away through the dark ages for 2,000 years, is the church, who is returning in these days to understand the grace of God. The father said to these, "Bring forth quickly the best robe, the robe of righteousness," Isaiah 61:10, "and put it on him and put a ring on his hand," that's a symbol of authority and of the bride, "and shoes on his feet," that's a walk of separation from the world. Luke 15:22. The prodigal son will have more of everything than the first son. Those who have been sinners know their need of God, but many times those who are raised as God's people do not. Matthew 21:28 says, "But what think ye? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Did they say, "The first"? Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you do. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterward, that ye might believe him." Many times, it's not the son who says he will go to work in the father's vineyard who actually goes, but the son whose first inclination is to rebel. This rebel who comes to see himself as a sinner goes, while the other son who finds righteousness does not. Many career Christians are bored with the work of God and are distracted by the allure of the world. The publicans and harlots are so appreciative of a place in the kingdom that they throw their whole heart into it, willing to be served rather than to be served. They understand the great value of the gift of grace that is given them in their own unworthiness. Amen. That's clear. Very true. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Missy.
What came to me
especially about this, the top of this page is, which applies to this whole thing right here, but he who has been forgiven much loves much is what came to me.
Right, man.
They love the Lord that much more because they know they've been have a lot of sin, and the Lord's delivered them and forgiven them, and they know what a debt they had, but the Lord forgave them.
Yeah.
Like he said, they recognize God's grace. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Who wants to read next? Okay, Missy, go ahead.
In the last days of the Gentiles, it will be the same as it was in the last days of the Jews. There are many self-righteous Christians today who are not the creation that the Father desires. Those who have been raised in the church should humble themselves to the word of God and not religion, so that no man takes their crown. It appears Jesus had this in mind when he shared this parable, Luke 18:9. And he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set up all others at naught. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified, Greek accounted righteous, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The self-righteous child who kept all the religious traditions was not accounted righteous, while the poor sinner who was repenting of his unworthiness was. Jesus told the Pharisees that he had not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. He was after those who knew they had been sinners to be his children. Look at the following verse carefully, Romans 11:32. For God hath shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. God has designed that forgiven sinners become his sons. Those who have been disobedient have a great appreciation for mercy and grace, and do not offend God quickly. God has subjected us to this fallen creation for the purpose of a higher creation, Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to vanity, the fall and corruption, not of its own will, but by reason of him, God, who subjected it in hope, Greek firm expectation, that the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. The children of God can only be created from the fallen creation, and God is the one who subjected them to it to humble them. The scriptures show us our unfaithfulness and unworthiness so that we might have a reason to truly repent. But the scriptures shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. God chose us to be saved in Christ before Adam even fell. Ephesians 1:4. even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He knew we would need a savior before the world was made and Adam fell. He knew the fall would happen, and he went ahead with the creation anyway. From this, you can see that the fall was in his plan. Children who are raised with Christ many times take him for granted and do not really understand grace. God has a plan for them that may involve the temporary lifting up of his grace that has been taken for granted. Do not fear this or walk by sight, but continue to believe God for them. I'd like to make a comment here. You know, I had a conversation with a sister the other day, and it came to me with what I read here was, is, you know, this is talking about you know, we all have been given a lot of truths and are walking in a lot of truth that a lot of Christians aren't. And we got to be careful to not be self-righteous in that. And, you know, the Lord's really been, you know, speaking to me about that. And, I mean, it's like, there's brothers and sisters that have been saved for years and they're still children. They've been born again, should I say, for years and they're still children. And they haven't grown up. And it's because they've been under these false shepherds and you don't even want to call it the church because it's the apostate Christianity. It's man's system. It's not God's. It's not God's faith. It's not God's word. And they've been so deceived. And we just, you know, the Lord's just really been speaking to me about that. About not pushing my faith on someone else and really showing me a deeper understanding of being weak to the weak, I guess you could say. And just, you know, just realizing they're just little children. And also, you know, like, you know, David talks about this with children, you know, there was something I was listening to recently and it almost sounds like the very beginning of this chapter where David was talking about our children. It's nothing that we're going to say. It's not our job to convince them. It's the Spirit of God's job to convince them and to draw them, you know. Because then we're getting in our works and that's our self-righteousness. That's self-righteousness when we're getting in our works. And thinking, you know, we got to convince them, you know, and all, you know, all that does is just bring up a wall. We just, you know, we so have to be so careful just to be led by the Spirit of God. And, because when we get in our works, we can cause condemnation on them. And they don't even understand. They don't even understand. They can't even obey what the word says about, for instance, healing and the promises of healing and everything. They don't understand it, you know? They can't obey it. If they don't believe it, they can't obey it. You know, and they haven't been taught it, you know, and the Lord just
you know, like for instance, with my parents, the Lord gave me such an awesome word, and I take it as a promise. I take it as a literal promise that when I was with my mom and dad back in June, when my mom had her lower back surgery, I asked the Lord for a word for my mom and dad. And it was Jeremiah 3:15, I believe it was. And it said, I will give them shepherds after my heart and feed them knowledge and understanding. And it was, praise the Lord, you know, I will give them shepherds after my heart. So, yeah. And I just really been re-examining, just thinking about what it's talking about here about self-righteousness and stuff like that, and our own works and all and you know, the Lord said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I was really thinking about that today, meditating about that. And there were things that I was writing down and just, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's huge. So I'll just leave it at that. But that's just some things that I've been seeing lately. Thank you, Lord. Somebody else want to read?
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I will read. I just want to make a comment that just in the first verses that we're reading there, it seems so incredible that the heart that God really, the heart that God really desires and really loves and wants to be around is a heart of repentance. And, I know that we tend to think of that as a initial, I mean, I don't know that we tend to think that way. It's probably a bad statement. But sometimes we get into thinking that, you know, that repentance was that, say, that first time repentance of, you know, accepting the Lord and, you know, turning our lives around and following Him and dedicating our lives, etc. Excuse me. But I think more that it is in those verses, especially since I've been reading the Psalms, and how many times David is speaking about God forgiving our transgressions and moving us into a place of a clean heart, etc. I believe I grasped the fact that that heart of repentance is the heart that God wants us to remain in and to keep and to hold on to. And that even if those Pharisees that, looked up and said, you know, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like that. But even if that Pharisee would have stopped and caught himself and said, whoa, wait a minute. what am I saying? And became enlightened at what he was actually saying to God. And he stopped and broke down and said, no, I am wrong. I have been wrong. His whole heart, God's whole heart toward him would have changed immediately. Because that's that heart that I believe that God wants in us, is that constant heart of repentance. Doesn't mean we are repenting all the time, but we have a heart desirous to repent, to change and be changed by his word. But and I was just kind of thinking of those examples in the scriptures of exactly that, what that heart is what he really desires to be in fellowship with. Because I think it has to be a heart that is rightly seeing our own unworthiness in the midst of a God that is so gracious and giving. And I guess it just puts us in that right perspective to be with him. At least that's kind of what these verses are saying to me. But I would like to read, but I'll hold up and just wait till later.
Well, I can't get the thing out of me. Go ahead, Andrew. All right, Pat, we'll come back to you in a minute.
I want to be really careful the way I say this. I just would like to read a few verses from John. Because sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves and try to do things in our own way. And you know, we can't be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to work through us. And Jesus went to all his disciples and his apostles and he said, follow me, you know. Even Andrew, you know, was told by, I think it was John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that takes, and then he went to go follow Jesus. And says, Jesus still said, come and see, you know, where I live, you know, where do you abide? He asked Jesus. So I just like to go to chapter 16 of John, and this should be a big reminder for these guys anyway. For I tell you, this is John 16 and 7. It's going to be about 16 and 7 to 12. But I tell you the truth. It is expedient. And of course, expedience has to be looked up there for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. And he coming will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin indeed, because they believe not unto me. And of righteousness, because I go unto the Father. And ye behold me no more. So now we know, not by sight, but by faith. And of judgment, because of the prince of this world have been judged. So I would propose to you that we still have to allow the Lord to do his work, to choreograph it, and we step into it when he makes it available for us to give the word to someone else. to give that salvation message. And, you know, there are some people who use that, as David would say, a condemnation gospel. Well, just like it says here, you know, for God shut up all unto disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. And of course, that's in Romans 11:32. And in 8 and 20, for the creation was subjected to vanity, which is to say God's word has no meaning, not of his own will, but by reason of him, God. So, you know, before the world's foundation, God knew you were going to mess up, and that's why he called you. And that's why he saved you. And that's why he granted you repentance. And of course, he's going to convict you of righteousness too, because you're blessed by the same Holy Spirit when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled, and you're going to be persecuted for all the righteousness he blesses with you later on down with another blessing. You know, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of the heavens. But, you know, we still operated in those blessings because they're from God, and it'll kill our flesh, but it'll help our spirit. And I think that's what happened a lot to the disciples, and especially the apostles. So I just wanted to remind people of what it said there in 6, chapter 16 of John. Not trying to go and condemn someone and then try to save someone, because someone else will just come along and condemn that person that was saved, and he'll think he's condemned again. It'll be more damaging on him. And, you know, I'm not saying that as a less mature Christian, you might, because of the world and the circumstances, we all went through that too, because we needed to attain some maturity, and circumstances in the world and circumstances in people's lives could have led them down a bad path, even though they were saved. And God still drew you through that, you know, like to save you, not again, but he took your immaturity in hand and the circumstances, you know, of not being fed in some of the churches we were in. And the Lord will save you on your path. He will revive you. He will he'll chasten you, but he'll revive you after you went through the chastening, even after being saved. Anyway, that's all I wanted to bring up. You know, I'm just speaking from my own experience, actually. So, praise and glory to God. For his continual desire to help, to save. You know, just because you're a baby Christian and you might falter a lot, even though you know he gave you strong power when you first came to the Lord, and you saw great things back then. And you might have a person say a statement, for instance, "Oh, when I first got saved, it was so powerful, it was so different. But now it's different because he's expecting maturity out of it." And it was all a hard lesson, a hard journey some of us had to go through. And you never give up, and you don't quit, because the journey is still ahead of us. You know, it's like that Pilgrim's Progress. It's like the my son lent me his book, and he's going to get me that. You know, Escape from Christendom.
Yep.
That dream there, and good read. I liked it. He said he might get me another one. And I'll give him his back because he made notes.
It's coming in the mail.
No, no, actually, Father's Day is coming up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But I told him I don't want that. We'll go to that nice sub place again.
Oh,
thank you for the book. Yeah. Anyways, praise God and glory to God. You know, there's even some lovely hymns, you know, that Be Not Afraid. I even think I sung this here once in a while ago. It's He goes before you always, you know. And I really believe that He has to choreograph it for you. And that's why you pray. And that's why you can see that the person's having faith for family members. Praise God.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Before I ask where to start, I just wanted to, Andrew's scripture there in John 16, it reminded me of something, and that when he, that verse where he said, where it said, and the Holy Spirit, you know, he gives the Holy Spirit to convince the world of righteousness because I go to the Father. And just that little phrase there, to convince the world of righteousness because I'm leaving. And Jesus is leaving and is leaving only us. I mean, I know you understand what I'm saying, but now it's only us that the world is seeing. It's only, and so before, when Jesus was walking with the disciples, it was real easy for people to look at Jesus and see God's righteousness and His works and His miracles, etc. But now that Jesus is not present on the earth, it leaves only us, and we're the ones that are being looked at or viewed on by those that we talk to. And just how that the power of the Holy Spirit being present within us is the convincer to people being convinced of righteousness. And I have to connect that back into what I just said before, because it, as Andrew was talking, I saw how the connection, that there's a connection there. And that heart of repentance, that ability to confess or agree when you're wrong about something, or to change your mind, especially when you are, let's say, emanating a bad attitude or something like that, and to somebody, and our typical response or reaction if somebody says something is to then say, justify ourselves. No, I'm not. I'm, you know, whatever. Make an excuse, etc. But when you have that grace to stop and say, wow, you know, you're right. That is an ungrateful attitude. And I'm sorry. Would you forgive me for that? Even though that is humbling upon ourselves, to the person looking at us, they are all of a sudden brought face to face with righteousness, because they could see the truth and maybe we couldn't see it because it was functioning within us, but they could see it. And when you admit the truth even though it embarrasses you or may reflect negatively on you, it says to that person that you are willing to change and that you are believing truth and walking in that truth or whatever. And I think it's connected with the Holy Spirit there in that way, where God demonstrates his righteousness, because he is no longer here. He needs an extra boost of the Holy Spirit now to convince anybody with us, with our lives as an example. Anyway. I just thought I would mention that. Can somebody, I'm on, where did you leave off, Missy? Was it, I'm seeing Jesus told the Pharisees that he had not come to call the righteous but sinners. Was it after that?
I don't know. Somebody help me.
Peter was Jesus's little one is the paragraph you need to be in.
I'm there.
I was thinking that. Thanks.
I got it. Thank you. Peter was Jesus's little one whom he raised up to be a disciple. He self-confidently declared to the Lord that he would never be offended or never deny him and would go with him to death. Matthew 26:33-35. God hates self-confidence, but loves God confidence. How does God deal with this sin? 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Failure is the best treatment for self-confidence. Luke 22:31, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not, and do thou when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day, shall not crow this day until thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. Jesus prophesied failure for this proud man. Jesus, who had authority over Satan, did not forbid him from sifting Peter. Satan's sifts to get what belongs to him, in this case, it was Peter's pride, self-righteousness, and self-confidence. What fell through the sieve was what God wanted, the humbled Peter, the sifted Peter who had turned again or been converted, could now establish the brethren before this failure. He would have been a good Pharisee. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll go on. Luke 7:40. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, the Pharisee, not Peter, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed him 500 shillings and the other 50. When they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him the most? Simon answered and said, He, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. And turning to the woman, he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Big sinners make big saints. They know the value of grace. According to the previous verses, God wants people who are forgiven of their many sins and saved by grace so that they love the and appreciate him much. This is the creation that he wants, not Adam before the fall. The creation that springs from the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is the ones who loved, is the ones who have fallen and then are saved by grace through faith. We need not worry about our children or loved ones becoming sinners. Just hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. We must gracefully sow seeds of truth as we can without frustrating them. They cannot be convinced without grace. God works all things after the counsel of his will, and a man can receive nothing except it hath been given to him from heaven. And no one comes unto the Son except the Father draw him. God will do it when the time is right, and he will use our faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. KJV. We can see why sometimes God does not save people until they are a little older and have tried the world and found it wanting. However, if you have faithfully served the Lord from your youth, you have a great reward. God can save anyone anytime he desires. It is important not that we try with our own works to save the lost, but first honor God's sovereignty with our faith for him to do it. Job 6:37. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me. 44. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. It was John 6:37. Father will draw everyone that he chooses to Christ. God chooses us and gives us the desire to come to him, and only then do we choose him. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. God sometimes chooses the worst in our estimation. If God can save Paul or Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons, he can save those we believe for. Do you remember the conversion of Saul, who persecuted the saints with vengeance? Acts 9:3. And suddenly there shone around about him a light out of heaven, and he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Whom art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. A monkey would get saved with such an experience, which was totally at the discretion of God. This same omnipotent God says, All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. God uses his gift of faith in us to manifest the salvation of those he has chosen from the foundation of the world. Pray and thank God for those salvations. I can hear someone say, Goody, we will believe God and save the devil, and we will solve a lot of problems. I do not think such faith would endure to the end, since faith is a gift from God, Ephesians 2:8, to give or to take, and there is no precedent in the scripture for such a request. Besides that, devil is needed in his job, for which he would be totally unfit if he got saved. There is precedent for household salvation, though, Acts 11:14 and 18, verse 8. Paul and Silas offered this to the jailer, Acts 16:31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they believed and were saved, with all his house, having believed in God. Peter preached this too, Acts 2:39. "For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." In Exodus 12:3, "The lamb was slain for a household." Unbelieving family members are sanctified by our faith. 1 Corinthians 7:14, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy." Some object that God would be unrighteous to choose some and not others. We are too late. He has done just that. Psalm 147:19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his ordinances, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. God did not attempt to share his first covenant with any of the world but Israel. The New Testament he shares only with spiritual Israel. Deuteronomy 7:6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a people for his own possession above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples." God is not worried about multitudes, for he has chosen the least. He still only chooses the spiritual Israel on the narrow road. Abraham is the father of spiritual Israel, the church. Those who walk in the same gift of faith that Abraham walked in, Galatians 3:7. "Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham." Paul told the Gentile church at Rome that the people of all nations who believed the promise were Abraham's children, Romans 4:16. "For this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, or natural Israel, but that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Verse 17, "As it is written, a father of many nations," or Gentiles, "have I made thee." True spiritual Israel believes the promises even now. Romans 9:6, "For they are not all Israel that are of Israel." Verse 7, "Neither because they are Abraham's seed," naturally or physically, "are they all children, but in Isaac have thy seed been called." Verse 8, "That it is not the children of the flesh," or natural Israel, "that are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed." Those who believe the promises are born again children of the promises. These are Abraham's seed.
Hey, let's stop a minute and see if anybody wants to get any comments. Anybody got any comments? Okay. You want to keep on? I think Barry wants to read too, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll read.
I'll let Barry.
Yep. I got it. A New Testament spiritual Jew is circumcised in heart, not flesh, Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, physical, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he who is a Jew is one who is one inwardly, spiritual. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. Notice that a Jew now is not a physical Jew. A Jew now has the flesh cut off from his heart through the new birth. Galatians 6:15, for neither is circumcision in the flesh anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God are they who walk as new creatures. The unregenerate physical Jews who worship in synagogues are not Jews until they are born again through the New Testament. Revelation 2:9. I know thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich, and the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. The same as Revelation, same in Revelation 3:9. We were not Jews, but now are in spirit. I'm having trouble with my cat. He walked across a keyboard and ran me down to the end of this thing. Hang on a second. Let me find out where I was. Okay, I lost my spot. I think we're at maybe we who sought not, or was it above that?
Wait a Barry, minute. You just read Revelation 2:9, and you quoted Revelation 3:9.
Okay, all right. So we're at Romans 9:25. Sorry, the cat hit my keyboard and everything kind of went nuts. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call that my people, which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called sons of the living God. We were not his people, but are now beloved sons of God. Romans 9:27, and Isaiah crieth concerning Israel, natural or physical, if the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. A remnant of natural Israel will be born again, mostly after the elect Gentiles have been saved. A hardening in part hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In part here means that the lines between Jews, Gentiles and Jews is not a sharp demarcation. Neither was it in the book of Acts. Jews are now, even now, being saved more than ever. This is a sign that we are nearing the end of the time of the Gentiles. Most of the physical Jews will come in after the Gentiles. He who sought not after God were given the gift of faith to be spiritual New Testament Israel when natural Israel turned her back on God, Romans 10:20. And Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I became manifest unto them that asked not of me. God revealed himself to the church who on their own neither knew nor sought him. But as to Israel, he saith, all the day long did I spread out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Romans 11:7. That which Israel, physical, seeketh for, that he obtained not. But the election, chosen, obtained it, and the rest were hardened. We see here that only the few chosen among the many called of Israel accepted Christ and the New Testament. The rest were reprobated. According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this very day. in that day and in this, those who walk by faith are chosen from among, called to be the eternal people of the living God. Paul said all Israel is the physical Jews and Gentiles who are part of the olive tree by faith, not those who are broken off by unbelief. Romans 11:19-25. All have sinned and deserve destruction. Is God wrong for giving some mercy and grace and others justice? All deserve justice instead of unmerited favor. Then we go to chapter 7. Want to stop there?
We can stop there and talk about this a little bit if y'all want to. Chapter 7. That's where we'll start next week. Or what's today? Tuesday. We'll start Thursday. I tell you, they all went together to me. All right. I was talking to David yesterday. And we were talking about how this thing is going to transpire. He said, we're right at the Passover. And so that, you know what the Passover is. Can you hear me? You having trouble hearing me? Okay. Then the Passover is it low? Listen. Just a little bit. Okay. Let me get my professional microphone up.
Now you're muted.
Okay, now, devil, you get out of here. Name of Jesus. We were talking about what the sequence of events is fixing to happen, and he thinks we're right at the Passover. And what the Passover is, of course, is when everybody but God's true people are passed over by the death angel. There's going to be a lot of death, destruction, and all of that kind of stuff coming up here with the vaccines really kicking in. There's already been millions of people died from that. But he's thinking that we're going to see a lot more because they're going to release some more pestilence. Well, the deep state ain't going to give up easy. Even though they may be getting beat. And his thinking is that they may try this again with some more pestilence or nuclear, whatever they want. And then after that, it's when we go into the wilderness. After the Passover, we go into the wilderness. And that's when God's people will gain the necessary funds to get the gospel out. So we're kind of right there, I think. Did anybody got any? Yeah, Missy.
I think we all want to know. Well, what about the man child?
Well, the man child, but the man child anointing has to be before they go into the wilderness. So it's got to be either during or after the Passover, you know. And then that's when the bride and man child go into the wilderness. Did you have a question, Julie?
I did have a question in regards to like what all the plagues and everything on Egypt. I mean, we know we're already under the plagues and stuff, but I can't remember if, you know, how many days it was that they had the plagues, and then there was 10 days of darkness. And I don't remember if that was before or after the Passover. I think it was, that was part of the plagues, wasn't it? The 10 days of darkness.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember from that in Exodus?
Third day, is that what you're saying, Missy? I don't remember.
I thought it was 3 days of darkness.
How long is it? 3 days?
Yeah.
3 days of darkness.
Maybe, I don't remember.
Maybe I'm confusing that with some other days of darkness thing.
Well, it seems it seems to me, if you look at, you know, all that in Exodus and the plagues and all that, it seems like the man-child was anointed before all those plagues, because that was, I mean, if the Israelites didn't see all those things, they wouldn't have followed Moses into the wilderness.
Moses spoke the judgments.
Right. And if he didn't show them who he was in God, you know, that they wouldn't have followed him.
Yep. Could be the white horse. But yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So I'm still, I guess, not clear, or maybe I'm combining more than one pattern together, but I know that we're talking the man child will be revealed at the same time, generally speaking, the same time as the, say, 7 years of tribulation. And the man-child will go through and lead the bride through the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And then the second 3.5 years, the bride will bring in, I believe, the way I understand it, the church, or the rest of the church, shall we say. However, I'm not clear as to that, how that pattern fits in with the 7 years of Jacob's trouble. Maybe it is the same time, because there's a time when Israel, God will turn from the Gentiles and then turn to Israel, maybe not it may not be the nation of Israel, but I think that's a picture type. There's a type there, at least, at the very least. So how does that 7 years of, or that time when God turns from the Gentiles and turns his focus back to Israel, is that Jacob's trouble, 7 years of Jacob's trouble, shall we say, the same as the church's 7 years of, the man, child, bride, etc.? That's a question.
Yeah, I understand it is. The first 3.5 years is for the Gentile, of course, you know that. And after the first 3.5 years, the Gentile door will be shut, relatively speaking. Then he'll open it up for the Jewish people. And now, of course, as you know, they're already starting to come into the kingdom. Pretty good. But during the first 3.5 years, there's something that happens at the mid-tribulation that's pretty awesome. And I hesitate to say anything until I check my notes back and find out for sure. But I believe that's when the man-childs go up to the throne. And I asked David about this one time. And like I said, I hesitate to say anything because he didn't really give me a positive answer. He just gave me one of those looks, you know. You know? You know, one of them kind of thing. But he indicated, because I asked him point blank, so what you're telling me now is that the man child is going to come back in a glorified body. You know, one of those kind of things. So I believe that's what's going to happen at the mid-tribulation, is that the man child is going to come back in a glorified body. Go ahead.
Is that also the time of the literal mark of the beast will be instituted at that very time.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I believe that's when the second round of the man-childs will come into play also. You know, there's two phases of the man-child. There's the first fruits man-child and the second fruits man-child. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but that's just my...
So, will that, do you think that that man-child of that second 3.5 years will be focused on the Jews? Or shall we say the, and maybe the old covenant thinking people?
Yeah, I believe so, because the first fruits man child is going to come, well, his ministry will change just a little bit during that period of time, in my estimation. But the man child comes out of the bride, and the bride is already made before the wilderness, so it's not anything new. It's somebody that comes out of the bride. They are discipled until they have matured to the point that God uses them as the man-child ministry going into the second part of the tribulation for the Jews. And like I said, because you remember 3.5 days, what happened to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
He went up. He came back with a glorified body. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, I think it's the book of John where when Jesus died on the cross, a lot of the Old Testament saints came out of the graves too, right? Mm-hmm. So that has to have a meaning, I think.
Glad you brought that up. Because I believe that too. We believe that. Matter of fact, we have got words to that. That people that have died here in our ministry will be coming back to life. And we thought actually that it would be at that time. You know, we could go ahead and pray and get them back to life, but it didn't happen. So there's only one other answer. And it's, God's going to be using that to bring other people in, bring a whole bunch of people in. Ben, did you have a question or an answer?
Well, I got a question. You were mentioning that there was going to be kind of like a second wave of man-child.
They call it the second fruits, yeah.
The second fruits. And the 144,000 is mentioned twice in the book of Revelation, the sealed, and then it talks about the tribes. Is that the second? In chapter 7 of Revelation, it talks about the 144,000 sealed in the tribes of Israel. Is that part of it, or like the second wave, or the second fruits, sorry?
It's a second fruits, and it's from a parallel out of, and I can't remember the anybody else remember where it comes from? It comes out of the Old Testament. It's a parallel. And it shows, and it talks about that, where they, oh gosh, I'll look it up and I'll bring it next Thursday, this coming Thursday, and we'll talk about it then, because I actually forgot. But they had a first fruits that didn't, they had a problem with it, something, I forget what happened, but then the second fruits came in, took over also. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look it up. Yeah, wait. Andrew.
Did you have something you wanted to say, Ben? Or? No? Oh, okay. There was a question posed last time, Michael.
And yes.
The question was, Were the disciples? Yeah.
Were the disciples born again before Pentecost? And I didn't get into tonight because I had a I haven't had time to get ready back into it and study it enough to show you what's going on that I was talking about. Thursday night we'll talk about it, okay? Did you have something that you wanted to add about that? Okay. All right. Well, we're out of time. It looks to me like Thursday night we got a lot to talk about before we read anything. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I like it when we do that. Hopefully somebody will have the answers, you reckon? Yeah, study out. Praise God. All right, Father, we just thank you for another night that was good, awesome. And we thank you for the great testimonies tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, that everything that we pray tonight is already taking place in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, Lord, I thank you for getting everybody a good night's sleep or a good day's work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.